the Tiltcast, episode 593. You're not my mom.
This week, guys, we talk Blasphemous, The Last Faith, and some Final Fantasy 14 Online. Stay tuned.
Not the mama.
Wow.
We're back.
We are.
Wow.
So the Tiltcast, it is Sunday, August 18th at 12:58 p.m. at a balmy 93 degrees. I am Nos.
I am Jason.
I am older. Rusty.
And with the three of us, you will get some amount of time's worth of bullshit.
Oh, shit.
Some games, some news. It's an M-rated show. Rusty is older. You are...
I'm 40-something. I'm going to be perpetually 23 years old forever and ever and ever.
You are not my mom.
I stopped counting at 23, so I have to actually do the math every year. I believe it came up to be 43 this time, and the numbers unfortunately don't lie. I feel 43. That's pretty, I'm sure.
I know for a fact it's 43 because my wife used to give you shit all the time about being a year older than her.
Well, you
damn,
know.
You added your wife's age on the show?
Damn!
For shame.
For shame. That's why I stick with 23. The other way, she's 22.
She doesn't care. She's proud of the fact that I look older than her. So,
I mean, you know, that's going to be a curse one of these days. You just be like,
it's
hey.
A curse about this age.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, hey, I look old enough to, you know, to buy drinks. That was great when you were fucking 18. When you're getting up into those 40 ages, man, you want to like de-age quickly.
I like to think I give off zaddy energy.
Wow. I keep all that energy for myself. Thank you very much.
No, I bet that age where girls that are 15 years too young flirt with you and girls that are 15 years too old flirt with you.
Hey, that means...
not into that. That means... I'm not into that 50-year-old energy.
Aww.
It's not even a cougar at that point. Like, that's a mama bear.
That's a mama bear. No, I believe I don't know.
So it's a white lion.
A white lion? Is that... Are you hunting for white lions?
No, sir.
Wow.
Probably more like the white lions are hunting him.
Yeah, oof. That's about how it goes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh boy.
That is the sage. Like, if you don't,
they don't see a wedding ring on his finger, and they're like, score.
Yeah, no wedding ring on the finger, and I don't. I'm not wearing a polo shirt and pleated pants every day. So there's that. I guess there's a part of me that's pretty immature, right? Play lots of video games, wear lots of band t-shirts, have some tattoos, have adult responsibilities and adult job, but people at that part of my life have basically no clue. I'm just a big fucking child.
Yeah, well, I mean, I took the Toys R Us motto
to heart.
Yeah. It's part of my core. I don't want to grow up.
The problem is that Toys R Us motto is only relevant to people that are in their late 30s, early 40s.
Toys R Us doesn't even exist anymore.
The kids don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I can keep this one to myself, I suppose.
Yeah, Gen Alpha grew up when there was no such thing as Toys R Us.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, I started to say my oldest kid is the only one who even remembers there being a Toys R Us.
Yeah, that's sad.
Well, those damn alphas will never grow up anyway.
Well, that being said, all of us have been pretty busy. Like exceptionally busy.
Yeah.
Jason, what have you been up to this week?
Oh man. I've been between doing new stuff for the podcast and then just work in general. I got of course, we were busy with back-to-school stuff this last week, getting ready for that. And I played played about 6 hours worth of 7 Days to Die. Realized that I actually really do like the whole new challenge system and like quest system with the NPCs. But then also decided I just wasn't in the brain space to play that solo.
It does take a really grindy game space to want to do that.
Yeah. And so then I started playing, you know, my odds in of the group started playing my Tiger Woods, and then this week end up in, for whatever reason, just in the mood for like the basic yet fun combat of Rocksteady's Batman series, and I started playing Arkham Asylum Friday.
Damn, isn't that game like 10 plus years old?
Yeah. And I think for the most part, it still looks pretty good, and it is still a lot of fun, even if you've played through it already, just because the combat's good, right? And I've not played it in a long enough time that, you know, I don't remember all of the puzzles, right? So, that means I'm not feeling like I'm just owning the whole game, right? Which is not the way it was when I tried replaying through the whole series like 4 years ago. I still kind of remembered everything.
Man, I need to actually play Skyrim again. I don't remember a fucking thing about that game.
Except for the beams, right?
Right. Yeah, well.
Yeah, I remember memes, and that's about it. Like, you know. But I could play a super highly modded Skyrim. Pretty easy, honestly. I've got enough going on, though, that I don't have time to play it. Like, and I think that's part of what we want to do. Rusty, it's your birthday week.
Kinda, yeah.
What did you do for your birthday?
What did I do for my birthday? I worked. I did actually work on my birthday, so that's basically how getting old works. But I did, you know, after work, I went and spent time with the family. My mom made pizza rolls, which Jason definitely knows what those are.
Oh, yeah. I still have yet to have your famous pizza rolls.
Yeah, I have I didn't make them very often because, well, Jason knows, I had,
I mean, it's kind of an all day event to make pizza rolls.
Yeah. And yeah, the last time I made them, I think I made like over 100 of them and they were pretty much all gone. Yeah.
Like how big are these?
These things are, oh gosh, we're
talking like
they're made with egg rolls, but
think the roughly the same, like width and length dimensions as a Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
But like almost twice as thick.
How do you eat 100 of those?
Huh?
How do you eat 100 of those?
Well, it wasn't me that ate 100 of them. Jesus. They had like basically a block party that night. And
oh, fair enough.
And so we fucking had everybody come over.
Yeah, I can see if you have a few people eat like two or three of them, that makes sense.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was.
Yeah, when he's talking about like making that quantity, that was like the first New Year's we were here in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did up a ton of them.
It was there was a lot.
But then he's made them a couple other times, but it was like it was smaller batches, you know, like 30.
Yeah, it was 30 or 40-ish.
And they freeze.
Freeze very well, actually.
So there's that.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's like if I ever ended up with a food truck, it would probably be a pizza roll food truck, because I'd make up a fuckload of those. I'd freeze them, and then they only take maybe, you know, a minute or two to refry from frozen, and they taste super fresh. I mean, I've done them in an air fryer before, and those are, you know, those are great too. It's just, I mean, it's basically just pizza makings wrapped up in an egg roll. It's really not all that fucking special, but apparently the way that I do it makes it very tasty. And I enjoy the fuck out of them. My mom knows that I enjoy the fuck out of them. So they're dangerous in a way, because they're deep fried. Because it's not very good for you, but and B, I tend to, doesn't matter what diet I'm on, I tend to, you know, throw that diet out the window when there's a pizza rolls on, because I will eat at least two too many. So
you're just like feeling like a beached whale.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But yeah, it's worth it, but it also kind of like comes back and haunts you, because I don't really do deep fried food very often. So when that rolls around, it's like, oh, it's super fucking heavy. And especially afterwards, it's like, oh God, I feel like I'm about 50 pounds freaking heavier here. It's bad. Tastes great though. My parents don't know what to get me, because I'm notoriously hard to buy for. And I basically tell everybody, no gifts. I do whatever I want, really, when I want to. And so she's like, I was getting stuff for the pizza rolls, and I just didn't want to make pizza rolls, and I didn't know what to get you, and and I don't do gift cards, because while I know you'll use the gift cards, I just don't do gift cards because I feel like they're a cop out. So I went and I got these two big packages of beef jerky. Which one do you want? And I'm like, you really didn't have to. She's like, you're going to pick one of these bags of beef jerky and you're going to like it. And I'm like, all right, fine. I want the peppered one. So I've got a big bag of peppered jerky as a gift from mom. you know, that's a thing. But I don't do surprises. I really don't do gifts very often. So I was like, all right, yeah, just, you know, I'm good with, you know, everybody getting together and having, you know, having a dinner. That's where I'm at. Of course, Mom needed to make me a cake. So I had a carrot cake for my birthday, which is all right. But my birthday gift for me, because I do birthday gifts for myself, is a new PC. So for the past couple weeks, I have been speccing out a new PC. And 95% of it is sitting on my desk right now.
You're waiting on a graphics card, huh?
Nope. I've got the graphics card. I mean, the graphics card is, I'm going to be using the 3090 for right now. But so this is what I ended up getting. So if you've been watching the, you know, the tech news for, you know, the last, you know, couple weeks, you've heard that Intel processors, 13th and 14th gen processors, have had a bit of a self-destruct bug available, you know, in it.
The Intel processors.
Yeah, the Intel processors have been there's been some oxidation issues, and then there's been some fuckery that has, you know, that's been going on with, you know, with power on the 13th and 14th gen processors, to the point where they will, you know, essentially self-destruct or do permanent damage to, you know, to the processors if you don't upgrade your firmware, your microcode for your motherboard.
They tried pushing the 12th gen power limits too far.
Yeah.
The IOCs can't handle it.
Well, those things, they're basically overclocked out of the gate unintentionally. And because motherboard manufacturers and the way that they built the processors, they're running super duper hot, and they're, you know, it's got a good chance of permanently, you know, destroying the processor, or at least permanently degrading the processor. So there's been that, and I was like, okay, well, fuck, I'm not going to go with Intel for right now because they've got a lot of shit going on. AMD's been doing, you know, was going to do a launch, and I was kind of looking at getting the, you know, the Zen 5 processors, you know, the 9000 series processors. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was looking at, you know, possibly picking up a 9950X, you know, which is way more than I need, but would cover basically everything that I'd want to do with, you know, with my machine. Until the review embargo lifted, and the review embargo is basically, you know, said that because this is a 16 core 32 thread processor and it's using the AMD chiplet design, there's 8 cores on one chiplet, another 8 cores on another chiplet, and one of them has, you know, better cache, basically. One of them is basically the performance cores. Well, to be able to use it for games, you have to park the, you know, the other chiplet, park the cores on the other chiplet. So basically, you have to turn off or deprioritize half of your processor to run games. And there's a whole process on how to get that to work. And once you've parked it, it's it doesn't actually give you all of the performance unless you're in or on the normally locked administrator account, you know, in Windows. And while you can unlock that administrator account and use it, it's not recommended because it's the administrator account and is basically the closest to, you know, closest to the operating system that you can get, essentially being a security risk if you continue to use it. So, yeah, its performance was outshined by a lot of the previous generation's processors, including the 7800X3D. Mind you, I had already picked up the AM5 socket motherboard in anticipation for the 9950X, because all I was doing was waiting for that to, you know, to drop, and I was like super disappointed that that happened, you know, that it, you know, that the processor was, you know, underperforming and had a bunch of problems and a lot of, you know, hoops you had to jump through just to get it to work properly. And then a lot of the same reviews were comparing it to the 7800X3D, which also happens to be an AM5 processor. So I picked up a 7800X3D, which has zero of these issues. I do not have to actually park any cores because it's just a singular chiplet, you know, 8-core 16-thread processor, and is basically a monster for gaming. So I picked that up, and I'm waiting for that part to come in, which will be coming in tomorrow, and I'll be building my my blackout PC. My this has only one part has RGB, and it's not going to get turned on. Nothing in that machine is going to light up. So,
yeah, so this is the post anti RGB crowd.
The post 40 build.
This is the post 40 build. Yes, this is definitely the adults version of a gaming PC, because you wouldn't be able to tell that it's a gaming PC because it doesn't have any RGB. I'm going to be at least losing 5 or 10% FPSs because I don't have RGB, but that's okay. I can live with that.
I have that Lee and Lee case that you had suggested, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just ends up being white, and it's, you know, pretty clear. So, like, honestly, the only thing it has in it is some old Fallout characters that I have sitting in the case.
Right.
But I just turn on the white light. Like, I have a little remote where I can change it, or I can Christmas light or whatever, right? And I never, ever, 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 ever do that. Like, it's just white.
It's just white. Well, mine is kind of like a, you know, like a blue. Because I do have a theme where it's like, you know, kind of like a blue and a purple. But that's only because I have Signal RGB basically, you know, synchronizing all of the colors, so I don't have to fuck with 16 different fucking RGB softwares. And honestly, when I, you know, the thing that really made the difference for me is when I did, you know, did this build, I realized just how many fucking wires has to do with RGB, and I was over it halfway through the build, and I was like, nah, I'm done with this shit. I'm not going to do anything RGB because I don't want the extra fucking wires. I don't want to have to deal with it. It's a massive rat's nest in the back of this thing. I hate it. I hate it. It's hidden, and I know it's there, and I hate it.
Oh, yeah. So, if I could afford it, I would totally, like, when I upgrade my CPU, I would, like, totally go knock to everything on the fans and just go completely RGB-less.
Yeah, well,
I don't have Noctua fans. I have LED fans, but for as non-quiet as they are, since it doesn't sit next to my head, you cannot hear them unless you are right up on the case.
Yeah.
And three fans cost the same price as one Noctua fan. I think I got for every three fans, it was like $25. So we're like $8 a fan, and I've got 9 of them, and my PC just doesn't get hot. So
there's another thing that I plan on doing. Well, I don't know. It depends. So as I said, the build is basically 95% done. And you were kind of right. I don't have a video card. So, you know, and I'm waiting for the NVIDIA drop, because when I do a build, it's going to be a full build, right? And the problem here is I don't want to wait for NVIDIA's drop sometime at the end of this year for the new video cards. And I leapfrog. I skip the 40 series cards. And I'm going to the 50 series cards. So this 50 series just so happens to be the first series in a long time to include a Titan card.
That's on top of a 90, or are they just doing 50-80 and then doing Titan?
No, I think they're doing a 50-90, and then they're going to do the Titan card. It's right now they're calling it the Titan AI. And I want to see what that Titan card actually is geared towards. If it's
like that's not going to help you out, you know?
Right. If it's geared towards AI and that, and those extra cores aren't really going to do much for gaming, then I'm just going to pick up a 5090 and call it good. I've been looking for, a graphics card, and of course, my current card is going to get used, right? Cam, my buddy's, he's rocking the 2080 that we gave him, a while back, and it's still working, but his processor is terrible. it's just bad. So he's going to get everything that's in my machine.
What you're telling me is we stuck a Mustang in a Pinto,
basically. Oh my God. He's got a 9100, an Intel 9100.
Holy crap.
Yeah. It's a ninth gen, like the absolute bare bones spec processor. It's crap. It's so bad. It's very bad. he needs a machine. So he's going to get my 9900KF, and which is running still hard. It's running a pretty, it's running well, but he can't afford a PC right now. So he's going to get what he gets. But he'll end up with my whole rig once the new video card comes out, because he'll end up with the 3090. Now, I've had to do some work on my 3090. My Zotac 3090 is definitely it's not the case. Is I pulled all of the panels off the case and I put a fan right on it, and it's like it was thermal throttling, because Zotac is
Zotac.
Yeah, it's Zotac. So what I'm going to end up having to do to get this 3090 to perform well is I have to undervolt it, which I've done a pretty decent job of undervolting it right now so that it's not thermal throttling. But it's also recommended to just get rid of the Zotac shroud. And there is a few things that you can have 3D printed. You can get a fan cage 3D printed for the Zotac card to clip onto the heatsink, and then you can put Noctua fans on it. And apparently, the Noctua fans are way better and way quieter than these Zotac freaking jet engines that they try to put on there. So I'll probably end up modding this 3090 before I hand it off to him, just so that it doesn't sound like a jet engine when he tries to turn on a game. But yeah, my new space heater is coming along. and it's not too bad. I mean, the most expensive part, considering I went with the 7800X3D, it's like a $300 processor. So it's, you know, like the most expensive part, will, you know, most likely be whatever video card I end up with. Dwarf the entire cost of the entire machine.
What's the rumored release date right now? The next gen card.
Oh, the next gen it's probably going to be, you know, October, November, kind of like the the previous releases. And depends on there's a shortage of the VRAM right now, and that is concerning, because if they don't have enough VRAM to be able to make the make these SKUs, they're going to be just as hard to find as the 3000 series, which is concerning. There's also there is also talk that the new AI focus towards those graphics cards may also be, decent for mining, which is also concerning, because that means that there'll probably be another shortage because of, mining. So it's not looking great for this, for this release just right now. They need to shore up their supply for. I'm picking up the stuff that's going to be GDDR7X. Because I'm looking at the higher SKUs, so hopefully there'll be some stock. I'm hoping that there isn't going to be a scalperama going on, but that's, we'll see.
What I'm worried about, I'm kind of like, well, I'm going to wait till I'm throttling or having to set stuff at medium settings before upgrade.
Well, you can do that, but you have the 4000 series, you have 4090. So, I got what I got with the 3090, and it's been a workhorse. Like it hasn't like failed me, but I've had to actually, undervolt it. I've had to throttle it back just because it can't handle the heat, So I'll have to figure something out. But that's my birthday gift to me, is overbuilding a PC, just like I do every other every other year or so, every 3 to 4 years, I guess.
Yeah, I think I'm going to wait just a little bit longer before I do any major upgrades. I think if I was going to upgrade anything, it would be upgrading the motherboard and chipset, right? Finding the right one of those to jump into before I get a new card. Because I can push my current rig further by upgrading that, my RAM,
I think you've got a Zen 4 processor, right? So
yeah, it's a Zen 4. So, and part of that was, the only problem with that is you can't do DDR5, you have to do DDR4.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to go with, with the a Zen 5 board, is, I picked up DDR5 for the, for the memory, which is, it'll get you a few FPS. I mean, it's not the biggest thing in the world.
It's mostly on like CPU gated games, like stuff with just a lot of stuff going on,
mm-hmm.
that I think I would notice anything. Right. That's the only time I ever get bottlenecked is with stuff like that. And it's not like I have a bad processor, right? I got a 5980X. So occasionally I get some weird throttling with very low spec games, to be honest with you. Like I was talking about it last week, Orcs. everybody that's on their discussion board says that it's CPU throttled.
Yeah. Well, it depends on, you know, how the game's processed. And I've noticed it. I've noticed a performance hit in weird things. Like, I can play, you know, some of the, you know, the newest games out there, you know, perfectly fine. Like, sure, I'm probably hitting, like, you know, 60 to 70 frames per second on, you know, 1440p.
5900X. I was looking it up. It's like 59.8. That's like, oh, no, that's a Ryzen card.
Right. But I've noticed a few things, like just playing Final Fantasy 14, for instance, the new graphics update that they, you know, that they did didn't. It seems like it made a big enough change in how the game is, you know, is rendered that it actually throttles on my machine. Like normally I'm, you know, capped out on my, you know, frames per second. Like before the, you know, before Dawn Trail came out, I was normally, you know, running 120 frames per second, which was the, you know, refresh rate of my monitor, and it was perfectly fine. Right. You know, now with the, you know, with the graphics update, I can, you know, I'm in a, you know, I'm in a, you know, in a town, and I'm getting like 40 to 50 frames per second. Like, this is, you know, and it's basically a bunch of people moving around. What they did is there was movement physics on, you know, on shit that they added. So, like, people's clothing moves with the wind and shit like that. That's all very CPU intensive. Right. The more entities on screen, the more it has to actually, like, calculate how things are moving. And then that I noticed that my processor is just like, it's keeping up, but man, is it struggling to.
Yeah. I mean,
so
I struggle with that, right? Like, when do I want to spend, you know, sub $1,000 upgrading my motherboard and chipset, you know, because I don't know how much you spent on it's an whatever the current series i9 is, right?
Right. Well, yeah, the if you're looking at like the, you know, the like the 14th gen processors, like you're looking at about 500 ish somewhere in there for Intel. And I know the 7800X3D I picked up for just a little over $300. If you're going to get a processor, that's the one.
It's the, which one?
7800X3D. It's an AMD AM5 processor. It's outperforming the 14900K in games.
Damn.
Even though it's got, you know, fewer threads, basically.
I think
it's,
they're just
outperforming everything. It's Intel. It's AMD's 1080 Ti, essentially.
AMD does the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, has just done so good with their CPU market. Like, they're usually 2/3 the cost, right? And they overclock out of the box. Pretty, like, they underclock them. So it's like, well, here's what we know, something that works really stably. But out of the box, we'll give you software that will, you just click a couple of buttons and then it just stays at like 4.5 or whatever. Then I don't know what that one runs at, but right. Like, it just, mine runs at 4.5 gigahertz and I forget that it's overclocked. Like, it's just stable, you know?
Right. The X3D chips are actually, they've got lower frequency, but because they've got a stupid amount of cache on the, you know, on the chip itself, the processors, you know, tend to outperform in, you know, in workloads. Like, so for instance, loading up a game might take a few milliseconds longer because of the core clock frequency. But while you're in game, that information is closer to the processor than, you know, than having to seek it in DRAM. So it doesn't actually have that latency where it needs to pull information from RAM because it's right there in the cache. So it actually will outperform in a lot of things like benchmarks and stuff, because all that shit's preloaded onto the CPU's cache. You know, and because there's so much cache on the, you know, on those processors, they just kick the ass of anything that doesn't have, you know, that.
It does have a lot of cache. I was trying to remember what mine has. Mine has 64 on its L3. Yours says 96.
Yeah, in gaming, the only other processor that's even comparable, and by comparable, I mean most games, you only see like a 2 to 3% uplift, is the 5800 X3D.
Yeah, the 7800X3D has a 96 megabyte cache.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
It's nuts. And that's just, you know, it can load up a lot more information.
Not a bad price either. $366.
Yeah.
I mean, you're making me think.
it's worth it. The other thing that I was looking at, because it's AM5.
So you had to get an AM5 board, right?
It is an AM5 board, but AMD is going to support the AM5 board at least for another generation. That we know. The unreleased chips for the current Zen 5, there's going to be a 9800X3D. We know that that's going to happen. It's generally not available right away on a launch. It's generally about 4 to 6 months down the road. And those are going to, use the improvements that they learned from the launch, to do that, plus add the extra cache that the 7800X3D does. So when the 9800X3D comes out, there's a possibility that it's going to outperform everything. And the nice thing about that is, because it's AM5, you can socket that in, replace your 7800X3D, and sell that on the second-hand market, or use it for a completely different build. I know the podcast machine could definitely use more processing power.
Yeah, but I have to give it a graphics card because it's got integrated graphics right now.
Well, the X3D does have.
If I was to upgrade my card, or if I was to upgrade my CPU and then put it in here, yeah, I'd have to get a graphics card so I'd have a display.
Oh, well, that's easy enough. You could just pick up a, Le Cheapo fucking, graphics.
Fucking, card. Intel A750.
Needed a display monitor.
$150, slotted in, done. Yeah.
All you need is something that, does, enough video processing to put it up on the, put something up on the screen. It doesn't have to actually do any 3D processing or anything. So,
yeah. I basically just needs a display port.
Yeah, just a display card is all. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff, that I look at, and I'm thinking that if I pick up the 7800X3D like I did, and I decide if I want to down the road, pick up the 9800X3D when that comes out, if it's mind blowing or whatever, I can drop that straight into the board that I've got right now. And the only thing that's going to cost me is a couple, 30 minutes worth of downtime and a little bit of thermal paste. And, I can, basically upgrade the performance of the processor without having to do anything else. And then I'll be set for games for the next 4 years. Right. I can throw that machine at just about anything and it's going to perform. So, I mean, it's when I look at a PC build, yeah, it's initially expensive, but I only do it every 4 years. So, and I mean, even if I decide to, to take that 7800X3D, I know people that could use the processor. Right. He's on the other side of the wall right now. You could definitely use that 7800X3D. That would, that would set him for that's almost That's almost 150% better than what he's got in his machine currently.
That's ridiculous.
It's nuts.
Well,
so
on the low end, so I've been extremely busy, right? Like 2 weeks ago, I was in Dallas. This last week, I was in El Paso. So when I was in Dallas, I wasn't gaming. I was with my girlfriend, and we were seeing shows and doing things around town. Then I got back and gamed a little bit, and then I say a little bit. Like, I got back for a few days. Me and Jason recorded a podcast, and then Monday, the day after we recorded the podcast, like, I spent the entire evening after the podcast, like, getting my house, my chores in order so that I could leave. And then I was in El Paso for work from, like, I left here at 7 in the morning on Monday and didn't get back till about 3 o'clock on Thursday. And I'll spare you guys the, man, sometimes planes are fucking ridiculous, man. I am going to say this because it frustrated me so much. I got on a plane, you know, I was supposed to get on a plane by, you know, I was supposed to take off at 9 in the morning. So I got there at 7, right? I was too early, really. But when I got there, I forgot my phone. So I pulled up. I left my phone in the Uber. Mm. And that has my boarding pass on it, right? Everything. And I was like, I don't want to screw this up for work. So I guess I'm going to use my ID and get my boarding pass and figure out how to spend 4 days without my phone. And then I was like, well, I can chat the Uber driver. So like, I'm there with my boss and she's like, do you got a tablet or something with you? I was like, yeah. She's like, you got your work phone, right? I was like, well, yeah, I've got my work phone because I have 2 phones. Mm. She's like, see if you can log into the Uber app and chat your driver and see if they can like FedEx it to you or something while you're, you know, in El Paso. I was like, good idea. I'm panicking because, you know, it's like 30 minutes till we board. And, found out that you can recover your Uber account with the last 3 of the credit card CCV. So I did. I was able to chat the Uber driver. And a passenger that he picked up right after he dropped me off at the airport had found the phone. And then they ran it. After he dropped them off, he ran back to the airport and dropped it in the United Lost and Found at the airport, which I had to give him a ridiculous tip because, come on, dude. Like, that's awesome.
Right.
Because I was still freaking out about how to do this. And then I was trying to log into my Facebook on my tablet on the airport Wi-Fi because I don't have any service on my tablet. Because why would I? Like, I'm just going to use it on Wi-Fi. I'm not, you know, a 3-year-old that has to play video games on my tablet all day. And so anyways, that happened. And then, you know, miraculously, 3 minutes before my plane was about to board, United rep, I went up to the counter and said, hey, somebody at Lost and Found has my phone. They're like, oh, we know who you are. Show us your ID. And I did. And then somebody walked it up because Tulsa Airport's not that big, right? Which was awesome. And then my plane got delayed till 10 o'clock. And then my plane got delayed till 11:30. I was supposed to be in El Paso by 1 o'clock, right? And then their time like 12:30 and go to the, you know, the office that's in El Paso and like start working that day. And then we're both freaking out. And she's like, let's just rebook. I was like, all right. So we go up and rebook and we get a flight at noon. Get the flight at noon that then gets delayed till 12:30. So we're just sitting in the airport, right? Doing fuck all. And then we get to Houston and then our plane is delayed in air for one reason or another. And, we land when our other plane is boarding. I don't know if you've been to the Houston airport, but that airport is pretty big. Thankfully, we're only about 4 blocks away from our terminal. When I got on this plane, boss calls it a Barbie plane. It's 2 seats on one side, 1 seat on the other, and barely enough room to put bags. So they made me check my bag. Well, when I got off the plane, I've got this little tag that has my bag number on it, right? And I'm supposed to wait in the terminal. My dumbass is like, oh, well, they mean right outside. No, they mean in the little hallway. So I wait outside the terminal and I'm waiting out there and like 20 people go out there with me because this is not a normal thing, I guess, for, you know, for people like me that don't fly all the time. And the, you know, the lady there for, I'm just going to call it out, for United was, pardon my French, a fucking cunt. She's like, well, you can't go back there and get it. We're going to have to wait for everybody to plane. And like, everybody's like, well, that plane was delayed. Our next flight is going to be gone by the time you let us back there. Can we follow you and go back and get our bags? She's like, no, we got to wait for the whole plane to deplane. So we did, right? So I'm supposed to board by 2:20. It's 2:00 when I get out there, and boarding has started, right? It's just 3 or 4 blocks away. And it's 2:20 by the time she lets us go back there. And she doesn't let us go back there. She goes back there and grabs a couple of bags at a time. 2:25 by the time she gets my bag. It's the last bag she grabs. And then I full on, I pulled the thing like I'm in a panic, right? So I'm pulling it and my wheels come off the ground. And then I just grab it under my arm like a football. And just start charging through the airport. Cause I'm like, I'm going to make my flight. I'm going to make my flight. I'm going to make my flight. And I get up there and like, oh, boarding closed 5 minutes ago. Aww. Plane's about to taxi on the tarmac. I was like, what? I was like, you guys held me up. My plane was late. They're like, no, we got to rebook you. Like, no argument. All right. When's the next flight? 4:30. It's, 2:30 right now. I was like, okay, where's it at? It's like a mile away. Cause it's Houston. And so like, I just slowly walked all the way over there. I'm like sweaty and gross, right? Waited for an hour and a half. And then by the time I got, my journey leaving the house was at 7 a.m. I didn't get to El Paso till 6:30 our time. So 5:30 their time, right? But 11 hours. That trip to drive takes 11 and a half hours. I've driven it. At one point I had real estate in El Paso. I'd bought an apartment building back when real estate was really cheap. Anyways, long story short, that's not a thing anymore. But yeah, so I was flustered by the time I got there. And of course, I'm a nicotine user. I vape, right? I did vape at the Houston airport. Cause like, holy shit. Like I've got 2 hours. I can make it out of security and back in. But yeah. Man, like super mad. And then, I didn't make it to the office. Neither did my boss. Only one person did that was flying in from Phoenix because it's an hour 15 flight. Like it's a nothing flight. So she'd been there all day waiting on us.
Yeah. It's like the flight from here to
Dallas.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so I just sat there forever and, I brought things with me. I tested everything out on Sunday last week, like figuring out what would work. So I've got a little bitty battery operated keyboard that charges with USB-C, and I've got tons of wireless mice. So tested out with the Steam Deck, worked with the Steam Deck, tested it out with my tablet. I've got a little docking station that I can use to plug in that plugs into the USB-C into my tablet. And I can use my tablet like a little mini laptop, which is fine. Barely used it. I used it to check social media a couple times, and that was about it. But yeah, the, Steam Deck though, did admirably. Now I didn't play as many games as I thought I would because I was busy all day, right? Like you go out and you work and I'm out of town and then I spend, because a lot of people that are at this office that used to work for me. So like, I'm seeing people and then everybody wants to take you out for food or whatever, or like hang out with you after you're off work. So you get off work and then you go eat and then you go hang out with people for like 3 hours at a restaurant. Right. And so by the time you're getting home, it's like 8:30, 9:00. And, which that's fine. Like the food in El Paso is pretty awesome. One of the people that works with me, her mom made us homemade pozole. So like, I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
I did have some game time, but the Steam Deck with the dock, right? Like you can run an HDMI. So I ran an HDMI to my TV in my hotel room. And then I was trying to find a good way. Cause like, I can play with, I brought my Xbox controller. That's super easy to sync up with your, Steam Deck, but I wanted, to play some mouse and keyboard games too, and have that option. So like you just plug in the adapters into the back of the Steam or the dock. And then there you go. It's like having a little laptop. Just pretty crazy. I didn't have a desk, so it's like, what do I do? And I was like, oh, there's an ironing board in the closet. So I grabbed the ironing board and the little, desk chair that they got for you. On the ironing board, I had my little bitty, keyboard, my mouse, and I brought a mouse pad, So I was like, could game on my Steam Deck while I was out. And despite all of that, instead of playing the games that I needed a mouse and keyboard for, I ended up just playing a lot of Blasphemous, trying to catch up with that, which I didn't record any gameplay of because I was playing on my Steam Deck. And I fall into like two mindsets. Like, I was physically drained, so I was having a hard time getting into a game, right? Like, I played that on the plane. I played that while I was like fucking around waiting on planes. Like, I was in on my way back. It was not nearly as consequential, but it's an hour flight from, I went from El Paso to Phoenix and then 2 hours from Phoenix to Tulsa, which my way back took me way less time. the longest part of that trip was just sitting in Phoenix doing nothing for an hour and a half. And the gate that I got off and the gate that I could get on was like, I don't know, a 5 minute walk tops. So like, it wasn't that big a deal. And I spent more time like just putzing around, listening to music on my earbuds and trying to find something to eat while I was in the airport. But, yeah, so like I ended up playing a lot of Blasphemous. Blasphemous, an interesting game. Like, I got through 3 bosses, I think. I think a lot of Blasphemous, though, is like trying to figure out where to go next and what quests link up. And it's a good game, but like, it was more Metroidvania than Salt and Sanctuary. I really wish there was a game like Salt and Sanctuary. Salt and Sanctuary 2 is not it, by the way.
Right.
That is like half the game that Salt and Sanctuary 1 is. Like, it's, they don't even compare. But yeah, Blasphemous is much more about finding the object you need to unlock the doors to get to the next spot. So I spent a lot of time like looking for Metroidvanias in my catalog of things that I wanted to do. I saw this thing that was, when I got back on Thursday, that was an advertisement on Blasphemous 2 to get a Blasphemous 2 in the Last Faith. I was like, Last Faith? I remember looking at that game. I was like, oh yeah, it's $30. I was like, that's a lot of money for a, you know, sprite-based game. And I was like, reviews are really good. Let me see if there's a Green Man deal. Of course, I bought enough on Green Man that I get like the best deal possible. So I got it for $20 on Green Man. I was like, $20, I can definitely buy this. So I bought The Last Faith, which is more Castlevania than Metroidvania. And more Castlevania than Metroid. And so you're, and the, it feels a lot like Castlevania meets Bloodborne, and the reason it, both in setting and in playstyle. So there's no shields. You have a counter, right? Which I was used to with Blasphemous's counter is pretty generous too. So I was already pretty used to the counter. But the way that you avoid damage in this is by dodging and by countering and jumping around. And I've got a video of me doing the second boss. But the whole theme of that game is very much like, the setting and theme is very much like Bloodborne, right? Like, it's kind of, it feels 1700s Victorian Gothic, like Bloodborne does, right? Like, I'm fighting a werewolf boss. It's the second boss. It's not terribly hard. Like, it's punishing at points, but it's not terribly hard. Again, you'll see in the video, again, I'm not fantastic at these games, right? I got this boss in the second attempt. You'll see that I got the cutscene in the video that I'm providing to Jason for this. And I figured out the attack pattern, figured out what he was. It was like logical, right? Like, what's this guy going to be weak to? It's like probably fire. I found this stuff. Like, I found some fire bombs. I found a fire coating for my weapon. I'm like going a strength build on my character because the axe seemed really neat. And so I use a few spells, use the fire attack on it, beat the shit out of this werewolf, right? Kind of learned from my mistakes on run one. The save point's not that far. And then, yeah, did that. And but going back to the Bloodborne comparison, you've got health vials very much like you do in Bloodborne, right? And you farm those off both boxes that you break and you farm them from enemies, right? Like, sometimes they'll drop vials. You also can buy those. I was actually just now, before we jumped into this, was trying to figure out who the vendor was. And it was the next person that I unlocked, the next NPC that I ran into, appeared at my little base where everybody is. Because, of course, all of these, like, games have, like, a base of operations where NPCs start to move into and they start selling shit, right? So you can buy your health vials, right? And then you can only carry so many on you. And then, of course, from your stock that's in your inventory, like, you
resupply every time you rest, basically, right? He's got like a little throne that you rest on, and when you rest on the throne, everything resets. And you're, you know, I've got silver bullets for my guns. I've got like a magic resource, though I don't use a lot of magic. Probably should add a little bit more magic to my character. And then, of course, you know, you're just your health, your base health. But the game, like, you know, it is a little bit more obvious than Blasphemous in, like, the quests, because you've got these notes that kind of give you a clue as to where you're supposed to go next. You know, you've got, like, items that you pick up that very obviously, like, I was looking for, what's the next thing I need to do to kind of make progress in this area? And I was like, well, I've got these things, like, two different barriers so far, three different barriers, four different barriers. Got some areas that have like a looks like a really high jump or a really long jump, right? I've got these areas that have this block that looks like I need to move it somehow. And then I've got these things that kind of look like climbable walls. And I was like, I don't have anything to climb walls. And then I found a ring that was part of a quest that lets me move big blocks. And then there's these like clear walls that looks like I need something to get through those walls. And so on the item description, it's like able to pull and move items, right? And I was like, oh, okay, that's probably what that's for. So like it does a little bit better job of kind of, you know, pointing to where you need to go when it comes to those, you know, different barriers in your travel. And it has fast travel right off the bat. Like Blasphemous, it takes a little while. I've got two. I've played a little bit of two, but when I started playing two, I was like, I never finished one. I need to go back and play that, which I'll record some Blasphemous footage for next week. Cause I'm really into this whole like Metroidvania thing right now. But I do like the vibes, I think from Last Faith and the mechanics a little bit better than Blasphemous. Even though Blasphemous have some of the best looking pixel art I've ever seen in one of these 2D side-scrolling action games, right? Like, Blasphemous has some of the best pixel art I've ever seen. Last Faith has pretty good pixel art. It does not compare to Blasphemous. I don't know of anything that compares to Blasphemous. Even the cutscenes are done in a pixel art style. And they're so good looking. They're very grotesque, very grody and gross. Blasphemous art style is just over-the-top good. Best pixel art I've seen in a game ever. But Last Faith, I think playing Last Faith, I like playing Last Faith a little bit more just because it signposts what I need to do a little bit better than Blasphemous does. And it feels like I have more options because Blasphemous. So two gives you the option of three different weapons when you start, which I think is what they're trying to do. Like, hey, here's three different things. And it has a lot of like really obscure stuff. Like you've got these things called mea culpas, which are those are your unlocks for different tiers with each weapon. And then one, it just starts with like one group for that weapon, right? Like the different abilities that you unlock are combos. And then you got your different prayers, which are the different like magic abilities you have. Blasphemous doesn't have like any kind of stamina though. Neither of these games do actually. So you can butt mash to your heart's content. You still need to dodge shit though. I don't know. Just Last Faith has way more of a Castlevania vibe. And I really like Castlevania. So, like, I haven't spec'd for it, but, like, apparently there's even, like, a whip, right? It's like this candelabra that looks like that has, like, a whip attack. It's like, I kind of wish I'd went deck spec on this character. But I've got a really big-ass axe, which is just fine. And I'm having fun with it. Playing it when we were waiting on you to finish, you know, beating your meat there, Rusty. eating.
Hey, yeah. I mean,
you got to beat the meat into submission so you can put it in your mouth.
Hey.
But yeah, Last Faith is pretty fucking good. There is something else I'm playing, though. And I got a. You can hear my Steam Deck fire up here. It's so I can just get the name right. There is a game that was on sale till the end of this month called The Last Hero of Nostalgaia, or spelled out as Nostalgia. I haven't put a lot of time into it so far, But it's an interesting concept. I'm sure I'll talk about it a little bit more next week. So $7.49. Can't beat that deal. It's normally a $25 game. You start off as a stick character. It's a humorous take on the Souls genre. It plays a lot like Dark Souls 1 or 2, just in the basic concept. Moves fine, right? The combat's fine. Like, there's pretty close to the same nuance that you get in a Souls game. You start off as a stick figure, and as you discover more of each area, that stick figure goes from a pixelated stick figure into more of a 3D type character. The graphics get better as you like complete more stuff in the game, which is kind of interesting. You have these things called remembrances. So, your character will find a set of gear, right? I went with a Dex build, and this thief's armor that I had was heavily pixelated when I first got it, right? And it had some base stats and it wasn't bad. And then I found an area, you know, it also has the, like, you know how like in the Souls games and Elden Ring, right? You got the signs that people throw down, right? And it said, try remembrance here. And so I opened my inventory and the thing that's needs to be looked at on the item description is shaking. That kind of gives you an idea that like, oh, there's something here that, you know, I need to look into. And so you hit remember on it. It expands the lore. It gives you some more details about what was going on with that gear. And then it turns into better graphics, which is kind of funny. And of course, like the more gear you're wearing, like the better graphics your character is. When you're like not wearing any gear, you're basically a stick figure, a pixelated stick figure. So, but it has the same basic mechanics as like a Souls game, right? Like if you understand Souls games, you'll understand the Last Hero Nostalgia or Nostalgia, because it's, again, it's just being stupid. You got a narrator that talks the whole time. Sometimes he's pretty funny. Sometimes a little bit rote. He's not bad. There's a lot of TLC put into this game so far. It seems pretty handcrafted. If you happen to listen to this podcast in August, I don't see why you, if you're interested at all, like it's less than spending money for a combo item at a fast food restaurant, right? Like, and that's how I was looking at it. I was like, what's inexpensive that'll, you know, scratch some itches while I try to get through it? Apparently it's about a 20-hour game. So like $7.49 is a pretty good price for a 20-hour game. That's another game that I'm playing that I might get some footage of next week. I guess we'll figure out what I'm playing. I've got other things in the docket, right? Like, so for me, I think it's Blasphemous 1. See if I can beat that. That's a pretty long game. Last Faith is definitely one I'm playing. I am playing a little bit of Vigil the Longest Night because, again, another Metroidvania. Different art style, not pixelated at all. And then after next week, Core Keeper 1.0 comes out. I played a lot of Core Keeper, but I wanted to wait because they're going to give you like a legacy mode. So like, say you've put a lot of work into it. You got a big old house and a big old farm and, you know, a whole bunch of upgrades. Because it kind of plays out like a more structured Terraria is kind of how Core Keeper plays out. So let's say you have a lot of shit. Let's say you have like 150 hours into a run. Like, they'll let you keep that with they're going to stabilize the very last update into like a legacy save that you can just keep because you've been playing it for so long, you know. And then they'll do 1.0, which introduces some new concept. Like, I guess they're doing some magic is another thing that they're adding into the game, which is something they didn't have before, and a couple of different weapon classes that they didn't have before. So I'm pretty interested to see what they're doing. And I didn't really want to like overindulge myself into the update that I was playing in if 1.0 comes out in 2 weeks. It comes out on the 26th, right? So not even 2 weeks. So it just didn't make a lot of sense, and I figured I'd just kind of let that play out and pop up. But yeah, for sure, I will be playing a lot of side-scrolling games until that comes out. Then I'll probably play some of that. And Last Myth Wukong actually comes out this week, and I'm going to see if a couple of people I really respect play the game to get an idea of what it is and make sure it's not a... I don't know. It's an untested studio, and I'm pretty sure it's a Chinese developer that's making Black Myth. Am I wrong?
It is. It's a Chinese developer that has done mobile games.
Yeah. That's why I'm kind of cautious about it. Like, looks really neat. Monkey King's not a new thing, right?
No.
But it looks really neat. I'm really wary of the... I'm not wary of Japanese developers. I am a little bit wary of Chinese developers. And, well, I mean, I don't know that I even have to quantify that, like, at all as to why it would be, right? Like, not necessarily, like, China has not done it good on its track record. It's not reflective of all Chinese people, right? But plagiarism and information stealing and a lot of other things. I want to make sure that there's not any weird spyware hidden in the back end of this. I want to make sure it's an actual game, that it was fully developed and done, and they just didn't sell a half-assed game. Like, I want to see all those things. I want to see somebody play it for a little while and be like, yeah, it's a pretty good game, before I throw down $60 on it. All those things aside, if it, all of that's cool, then sure. Yeah, definitely play it.
I think I think they did something that was... I think they understand that, and they lifted the review embargo a few days earlier than most developers normally do, because you can see full on reviews on YouTube now for Black Myth Wukong.
Well, that's interesting.
And you know, they were now they made it so that. Most of the gameplay was PC because, of course, you know, getting review copies out for consoles was a little bit it's a little bit harder to do. But for PC, they did release or lift that embargo, so you can kind of see it. What I've, you know, the things that I've noticed so far, was some of the reviewers were having frame rate drops and some weird issues with their frame stuttering, which I think they're working out right now. And of course, there's, you know, because this is coming out for consoles as well, of course it's got to be validated for the console hardware, and I'm hoping that there's less problems on the console, because, you know, if there was frame drops on console, you're going to hear a bunch of people bitch about that, right?
Right. There's no fine tuning your settings on a console, really.
Exactly. So, there was that outside of that. I mean, the full stuff is available online right now, but if you're looking for a Souls-like, it's only very loosely Souls-like.
Yeah, there's like certain things that have copied that formula that I like and some that I don't, right? Like, I'm good with a Souls-like that has a good dodge. I'm not really good on one that requires a lot of parry unless the parry timing's a little bit loose. So, Liza P, I know some people said that was really hard. That's because the dodge sucks ass on purpose in that game and it wants you to parry, but the parry is a little bit loose. And so, like, there's two avoidance strategies, right? There's no block, but there's parry and there's run away. If it's a really big attack, you run away. All other attacks can be fucking parried. Like, there's a few bosses in that game that I took no damage on after I got the timings down.
Right.
And I just parried everything. It's not Sekiro. We're talking, like, I don't know, fucking 50 milliseconds on your parry window. So, like, if it's... However that system plays out is kind of determines my enjoyment of the battle mechanics, right? If there's a lot of variance in, like, how you continue to develop your combat style, that's another key thing. I really like it when you can change your armor and weapons out, right? Like, one of the best things about the Souls games is the customization of your character, not right. just in build, but just in the weapons and the armor and your look and everything, right? Like, it very much turns into your character. And one of my bitches with Blasphemous is it the only thing that ever really changes the way your character looks is based on the weapon. And you don't get a new weapon in one for quite a while. And two, it still takes a couple hours. And the only thing different about your character is the weapon. And of course, your movesets and things like that, right? But like Salt and Sanctuary, right? Like every 10 minutes, you're getting a new item that you can add into your gear set. And change the way, like, what your items look like and the way your character looks, right? And so, visually, you see growth. You don't visually see growth in some of these games. And that, like, Sekiro is another version of that, right? Your sword gets upgrades, but like there's just not a lot of visual growth to your character. It, you know, you have unlocks and things you can do, but it's not this. I like being able to see the new shinies on my character.
Right. Well, for this, I think you're going to, in that, I think you might be a little bit disappointed in the event, in the fact that it's, I mean, you're playing a
monkey, right?
A historical mythical character, right? There's not going to be a lot of change there. You're still going to be, you know, the Monkey King, essentially. But from what I've seen so far, you do actually get the ability to, you know, basically change out your staff. That's the thing that changes, and it changes how, you know, how you do certain attacks. There are the ability to basically shapeshift into certain enemies that you've defeated in the past to do specific attacks. So there is a little bit of character progression and, you know, and, you know, and change in the play style there, because yeah, you're going to move in an attack different if you're, say, like a tiger instead of the monkey, you know? You know, and in that, it's probably going to be a little bit better than, you know, like Blasphemous, where there's going to be, you know, very little change, but it's not going to be to the same level of customizability as Dark Souls. I think Dark Souls does it best, or really FromSoft does it best for any of their games, because you can customize just about everything in pretty much every FromSoft game that I've ever played. Yeah, it's going to be one of those, it's going to be a game that, I mean, I've kind of been watching it since they, you know, since they, you know, came out and said this is going to be a thing. And I know the Chinese developer was really the big question mark, is because, you know, hey, you know, what have they done in the past? Oh, they did a bunch of mobile games, and, you know, the Chinese market is definitely known for that kind of mobile, you know, mobile environment, where it's, you know, either predatory or semi-predatory. But the game, you know, from just from early reviews that I've watched, they say that the game looks amazing. Like it's a beautiful game. So in that, I'll probably end up giving it a shot, you know, provided that I can peel myself away from Final Fantasy 14 for more than a few minutes. But yeah, it's something that, I mean, I've heard whispers from certain reviewers that it's a game of the year contender, and that kind of means something from some places, you know? So it's probably worth a shot.
Yeah, I'm watching a little bit of gameplay as we're talking right now. IGN did a first look. That looks neat.
Yeah,
like I'm looking at it, I mean, like, that looks neat.
I don't know. I mean, the reviewer that we tend to go back to a lot,
ACG.
Is ACG. And I'm not sure if he's done a review for it yet. Yeah, he has, 2 days ago. So
yeah, maybe I'll watch that.
Actually, no, he hasn't.
You know who I'd be really interested in is Fightin' Cowboy, since he has played every Souls game in existence and written a guide for every Soul game in existence.
And he's played at multiple playthroughs of those.
Yeah. As the, maybe not the best speedrun Souls gamer, but the guy that understands the mechanics and is kind of like an expert scrub, as would like to, I'd like to say that I'm getting close to expert scrub level.
I'd like to think of myself as a pretty good beginner.
Yeah. Not a speedrunner, but definitely like better than the average pleb.
Yeah, I mean, I've been able to complete, you know, all but, well.
That reminds me, yeah. I got to finish Souls this year. I played too much Souls, that's all it was.
Well, I've got to actually, like, really, you know, sit down and, you know, put my nose to the grindstone on Demon's Souls, because that's the game that really kicks my ass for some reason. But yeah. Anyhoozle, do we want to take a break?
I think it's probably a good time for a break. Jason, yeah, do you have anything to add?
It's time.
Okay.
No.
We'll be back. And we're back.
Woot.
Woot indeed.
Woot. McWoot.
McWoot?
Yes. I don't know where I'm going with this.
In all of this talk, I went in the other room and started downloading the GOG installer for Fallout London and Fallout 4.
Nice.
It's 120 gigs worth of download, so I got that started while we're...
It'll be done by the time we're done.
Yeah, so we'll see how easy that is to install. I'll talk more about that later. Couple of quick rumors. Halloween the game is on the way with John Carpenter ultimately involved.
Okay.
So I think it's good for authenticity, but he's not a game developer, so we'll see if that matters at all. And what kind of game it is.
Are we going to get O-Face 2.0?
Yeah. And what he's talking about is what, the Jason game?
Yes.
Yeah. The Friday the 13th game.
Yeah. We, a long time ago. So Trent, back in the early days of early access, right? And Kickstarter stuff, me and Trent kickstarted like, it feels like fucking everything. Mm-hmm. And he got burned on Kickstarter after Kickstarter. He kickstarted all these horror games. And Trent had finally gotten a decent job and was like blowing like $100 on Kickstarters, like hoping for the best. And there was another game about going into hell that flopped really fucking hard that he kickstarted. And there was another one like that, that he kickstarted that also flopped really hard, as well as the front. And then he just stopped doing Kickstarters. Like, fuck this. Right. I kickstarted Wasteland 2. That did pretty well. Yep. And kickstarted to a Wasteland 3, and then by that time they got signed on by Xbox. But that being said, yeah, I'm pretty skeptical. I'm sure it'll be another, like, at this point I'm just like, oh, the only one of these that's worked so far and has any longevity and any legs has been Dead by Daylight, if you like that asymmetrical multiplayer. That's done gangbusters for years. And they keep grabbing other IPs to add levels, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've done really good if you like that kind of game. I know people that have put hundreds of hours into that game. They're the only one, though. Only one that's gotten it right, I guess. Some other things that are, you know, this will lead into some other news, but Star Wars Eclipse has gotten delayed again. So the lead writer left the studio and started a new studio. And this is the, if I'm not wrong, and I'm not reading the article, but I think it's Quantic Dream that does these games, right? So like Until Dawn and these narrative focused games where you have a handful of inputs, but most of what you're doing is just like kind of guiding a character through a story. They're more like interactive movies. Some of them hit really hard. Some of them don't. Like Heavy Rain, pretty fucking good, honestly. But it is a narrative driven game. It's kind of like a movie with a controller input.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, of course, you know, that's been memed to all hell, but, Heavy Rain is pretty good.
It's the finger thing that gets me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were doing a Star Wars Eclipse game. And, so that's delayed. Now the lead writer's gone.
Yeah. Go figure. Well, fuck you guys. I'm going home. I'm going to take my shit with me.
Maybe he's like, I want to make a game. That's a game. That could be that, right?
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know. These days, Star Wars is more miss than hit, and that's just been really sad.
It's oversaturation, right? Like, there's so many Star Wars projects going on, right? Like, Disney's got 4,000 of them. So you kind of have to, like, sift through and find the stuff you like. Like, the Obi-Wan one is pretty cool, right? Like, the Mandalorian, you know, any of the Mandalorian stuff or the Boba Fett stuff has been pretty good.
Well, okay. I have my own opinions on that, but that's...
But I'm just saying, like, I like Mandalorian quite a bit, right? And I heard that Andor's pretty good. Jason's really, in this group, Jason's the ultimate authority on all this stuff. We'll leave that to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure you have your own ideas, and I don't want to get into, you know,
right,
all this of that, because there's like even like some goofy ass politics that go on with some of this stuff too. But the problem I think is just like Disney's like, oh, we have the Star Wars IP. Let's have five projects going on at the same time. And in my head, I'm like, just do like one at a time and make every one of them good. Like,
right,
you're just oversaturated like crazy. And that being said, there's a lot of Star Wars games, and that, you know, the bigger IPs are getting them. Like the Battlefront one is pretty good, right? If you like that type of game, I wish I had more people to play that with, because honestly, I would play Battlefront more often, right? Battlefront 2 is pretty cool. But you know, what's the Jedi Outcast or Jedi Survivor? That's the second one, right?
Yep.
That was pretty good, even though Cal's a big old potato face. Like, it's a pretty good game. Like, not that I need really him to look like Ryan Reynolds. I'm just saying. But
they actually really ramped the story on the second one. I was really kind of surprised.
But
I really kind of liked it.
But the big sin that the second one had is it ran like dog shit for a while until we found an unofficial patch. Like, it got no love for the PC community.
Yeah.
And that was the problem with that game. Now Ubisoft, right? Like, they've got a game. It comes out on August 30th, I think. And I don't know what to think about it, right? Like, we talked about it last week, Rusty. So I don't know if you saw my post about it in our little secret group, but Star Wars mm-hmm. Outlaws, they paid a bunch of streamers by giving them VIP tours of Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody that they were getting on to stream the game. And of course, the streamer outlook went up after getting paid Disneyland tickets, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that just makes you worried. Like, okay, is that what they had to do to try to overcome some of the negative stuff that, like, you know, Ubisoft doesn't know how to make an open world game different than their Assassin's Creed franchise or their Far Cry franchise? Like, at this point, like, we've played that same game so many times, I'm just like not excited about it at all. So I'm cautiously optimistic about it, right? Like, I know I like the fact, so I should have written on the comment on, but ACG did a preview of Star Wars Outlaws, and he's like, yeah, there's some bones here to make it look good, but he's like, but then there's like these weird areas where they just have grass where it's really obvious mm-hmm. that you have to sneak inside of a building. And he's like, and that doesn't make any sense. He's like, and the little like slices that I got to experience seem pretty good. But he's like, on a, you know, 30 or 40 hour game, he's like, I don't know how that all plays together. So at least in my head, I was like, okay, maybe they didn't pay him off. I hope. But you know, there's just been some weird controversy, and I'm not even talking about all the, you know, sweaty incel controversy bullshit, right, that we get sometimes in the gaming community. I'm just talking about, like, it's Ubisoft, and Ubisoft doesn't have a fucking soul. So
yeah,
they
really hasn't
they
for a long time.
I know. And you know, case in point, like, they've oversaturated Assassin's Creed, something used to be a pretty high quality series that I used to really love, is to just like fucking reinvent the story over and over again to where it's a convoluted mess that you can't even follow at any point, right? And so far, the only ones I like is the Egyptian story so far, right? Like, that one was pretty good, and Valhalla. And then I got to go way back to the Pirates, right? But that was you playing a game of playing somebody who's playing a game, right? So it was like video game Inception with Black Flag, and it just happened to be that the ship's combat was pretty cool. And then before that, it was 2 and Brotherhood, which are top tier fucking games.
I start to say the ones that are actually like good stories to play through.
It was back with the Illuminati
stuff. 1 and 2.
The Illuminati stuff. Yeah, 3 just tied it up really badly.
And then Origins, which is the Egyptian one.
Yeah, Origins, like,
is story wise, those are the best 4.
The game mechanics in Origins are pretty good, and then some of the boss battles are pretty fantastical. They leaned to the fact that this is somebody's interpretation, and so you had, like, you know, mythological boss battles with Egyptian gods, and that was pretty cool. right? And the gameplay in that game is pretty solid. But like you go to, you know, the problem with the one in, you know, the in the colonial America is like a lot of your, you know, it's a lot of jumping on buildings. And of course, in that game, there were all the buildings are really short. So you're climbing in trees a lot, which is weird. It just, you know, it's like it felt really bolted on. I don't know. I could go way into it, but just like Ubisoft has lost its way pretty hard. It's such Ubisoft. a mammoth studio at this point. Like I feel like it's a soulless enterprise with like everybody doing this little piece of the puzzle and hoping the game directors at the top is not just a corporate board at this point. It feels like lost hope. Like I don't even feel like they're real game directors. I feel like they're just being directed by a corporate board. Like what part of this is going to sell the best? You know, it just, what's going to appeal to the masses? What's the most grindy thing we can do to sell Ubisoft Plus? It just feels like a way to keep people doing things that aren't necessarily fun to keep them on a subscription model and, or, you know, on a Game Pass model. And that's not the, it's not the game. I want to play a game and finish it. And it just, it's not a live service game. And I know.
They haven't changed their core gameplay loop ever. As far as I can tell. Yeah, I don't think that they have changed it in any meaningful way.
In 20 years.
Yeah, at least. Because
I mean, the last meaningful changes came in really came in Brotherhood.
I don't even think
they tried. No, they just they bolted things onto that core franchise, right? Like,
yeah.
And just Assassin's Creed has just been extremely rote. It's like the new one. Like, yeah, I'm going to wait a while to see how it actually plays out. Right? Is this actually fun?
Play another collectathon.
That's the thing. I don't want to do a collectathon, and I don't want a bunch of bolted on systems. Right. So like just Ubisoft can go fuck itself most of the time. So I'm waiting on that game. I'm way more interested in Space Marine, which I think comes out on the 9th. And I'm cautiously optimistic about Black Myth. I want to see some people play that. Like the gameplay clips I've seen look really neat, but that's a, you know, super small slice of what that actually involves, right?
Yeah, we should have hard reviews in a few days. I mean, it came out 3 days ago, so, you know.
There's a
something that happens soon.
There's a game with an IP that I just really like, right? So the IP is Terminator. So Terminator Survivors, it was originally set to launch in early access in October. It's a survival-ish game. In the Terminator universe and the Futureverse, right? They've delayed that till 2025.
Okay.
So they didn't think that it was supposed to be, they didn't think it was at a good place to be done. So I guess the premise of it is set in 2009, just a few years after Judgment Day. Terminator Survivors will take place at a timeline confined to the events of the first two movies. It's an open-world survival game with base building and threats ranging from the Terminator himself to other hostile machines and humans. The whole game will be played solo, but there's an option for up to four-player co-op as well. So, kind of an interesting take on it. I'd like to see what that means. Being developed by Nacon. It's a French video game company. And I don't know what they've made, so I guess that's really the thing, right? Games published. I'm looking right now to see if there's anything that I recognize. Let's go recent and work our way back. Cause like, holy shit, there must be a publisher. Holy shit. That's a lot of games. let's see. Raven's Watch, which is a game that's on PC, which has got mixed reviews. If I remember, Greedfall 2. Let's see, a bunch of simulator games. War Hospital, I haven't heard of that. RoboCop, they were the publisher for RoboCop Rogue City, which you said was pretty good, Jason.
Yep, which is a good game that neither one of you have played yet.
They also published Lord of the Rings Gollum.
yeah, that's not a game we can recommend.
Didn't have to scroll very far. But Rogue City was done by Teyon. Who's making that? To me, that's like the biggest thing, right? Like, look at the publisher. And let me look at the developer for Terminator. Let's see. Nacon Studio Milan. Let's look them up. Our games.
Dolphin Trainer. That's Cyberbike.
Let's see. Wow, they have three games listed. Isle of Man Ride on Edge 3, which is a motorcycle racing game, and Rims Racing, which is a bicycle racing game. Is that really all they got on here?
I love my pets, Nintendo 3DS. Truck Racer.
All these weird...
My Exotic Farm.
I guess we'll really see, huh?
Candy Match 3. Hello Kitty, Happy, Happy Family.
okay. not a huge track record here. something that I thought was interesting. So, remember I talked a little bit about Nightingale early on, and I was like, it's kind of a big directionless open world game that looks really pretty, right? It's in early access. It's got some cool ideas, but none of it really fits together really well. They published a YouTube video where the CEO and audio director kind of assess the current state of the game. Essentially, they said that they're not satisfied with the game, its reception or player numbers. But they've got big improvements coming. I know there's some like really big talent that they have on the team here. So I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I want to say that there's some people from The Witcher and some old BioWare developers that are part of the studio. Yeah, they said they're adding the single player mode, right? A whole bunch of quality of life updates. They want to kind of dig into that game and hopefully tie it all together. Cause I think that's what it's just doesn't, right? One of the things that I'm skimming here while we're talking about it, right? It said Nightingale's almost been too open world, too self-motivated in terms of goal setting. I 100% agree with that. Like, that's the problem. So they're saying we're going to address that by working to better communicate to the player what they're at the game's progression, what goals they should pursue next, and what they'll be able to do along the way, which I think is good because, like, to explain the gameplay loop, right? It's an open world kind of like crafting combat game. And you've got these like little islands that are, so you put these cards together and it generates like a roguelite, right? An area for your character to be. But it's not really clear why you need to have that area, right? To go like build on. And then like there's this, again, I haven't played it enough. I'm sure somebody who's played a lot of Nightingales can come back and be like, well, you can warp back to your original base. And this is the mechanic for that. The problem is that's not real apparent. I put about 10 hours into that game, right? And it was so self-motivated. I was like, okay, I built my base. I found these cards. I opened the gate. I went to this new area. What am I doing here? Right. I didn't really have a whole lot of like sense of purpose. And so because I didn't have good goal setting, I kind of lost the will to play. Right. They're working on making it meet their expectations. I'm glad to hear that. I'd love to play a more finished version of that game. I think part of the issue too is when it launched at the same time as Pal World and Enshrouded. And Enshrouded was a pretty complete experience, even in early access, which had pretty clear goals. It was a really good game.
Yeah.
And love to play it again, right? Like they're tacking on a whole bunch of new stuff for that game. Enshrouded's really good. But it's not a real long experience. I said not real long. I did put 40 hours into it. It's not a real long experience, but for that kind of game, not a real long experience. And I got more of a sense of completion and progression in Enshrouded, which is why I played it longer. So we'll see, right? Like, there's a lot of potential there. I bought it. I'm just putting it on my play later file in Steam and just kind of waiting for news on it. I don't really have a whole lot else. Jason, I kind of loosely mentioned some releases. Was there any news or anything I missed?
Not news, but as far as releases go, y'all already mentioned briefly Lord of the Rings Return to Moria. That comes out on the
27th. I actually didn't,
but for Xbox.
You shouldn't play it.
Right.
This is the second time we've done this. You mentioned it last week, so it's been out on Epic for a year. I assume it's coming to Steam or console, is what you just said?
It's coming to Xbox Series. Yeah.
You shouldn't play it. It's a bad game. I love Lord of the Rings. I've got a big-ass Lord of the Rings Complete Journey tattoo on me. I love Lord of the Rings. That game's trash.
And then we've got Visions of Mana coming out on PC and everything next gen on the 29th. And of course, Star Wars Outlaws comes out on PC and everything next gen on the 30th. A game that I found this last week that I'm kind of interested in because it looks kind of chill. Star Trucker.
Star Trucker.
Star Fuckers.
Comes out via Steam on September 3rd.
I gotta take a look at this.
I'm still
Star Trucker.
I'm literally thinking the song Star Fucker by Nine Inch Nails right now.
Or what was it? There's a movie, Space Trucker, I think it was.
Space Truckers, yeah.
Yeah. That's
a...
Like you need to provide a link to this. Star Trucker?
Star Trucker.
I mean, that's what it was in Elite Dangerous, right?
Kind of. Good old days of Elite Dangerous. As long as we get to, like, truck some square pigs,
Jason, this is the kind of boring, mundane gameplay that I'm looking for.
welcome.
This right here? Hey.
Customize your rig with an extensive collection of parts and paint jobs. Spacewalk to perform essential maintenance and collect salvage. Let's see. Unlock a wide range of haulage jobs, trailer types, suppliers, and cargo.
It showed up on, like, my Steam recommended list in the store this last week, and I was like...
From the guy that likes Power Washing Simulator, you should play Star Truckers.
I gotta have this game. This is... this somehow, like, snuck under the radar. Thank you!
Jason, you just found our most boring, relaxing game of 2024, possibly.
I've gotta have this game. I don't care how much... Just, like, shut up and take my money.
Right?
What's the release date on Star Trucker?
Star Trucker comes out September 3rd is currently the planned release date, and I don't see why they'd change that at this point.
Turn on my Steam Deck. I'm much listing it right now.
I don't know why this appeals to me so well.
We need something mundane. I believe in the mundane, right? Like, there is a quality of game for when you can't engage your brain hard enough to play something difficult, right? Where you just need to, like, fucking do rote things that, like somehow soothe you, right? The same way as, like, you know, eating chocolate cake, right? Doesn't take a lot of effort, but, you know, makes you feel comfortable.
Yeah. No, this is perfect. This is, like, I don't know why.
You didn't realize we were going to latch that hard onto Star Trekker, did you?
No.
I didn't either, but I'm all for it. It definitely it just looks interesting. It looks like it would be a chill-zing game.
See, this is basically like Train Simulator, but in space, and I'm all for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey,
This is great.
Apparently it was a Steam Next Fest demo that, like, somehow all of us missed.
It's on my wish list right now. Is there a demo? I'm finding out. No, it was just,
But apparently the developer is a studio called Monster and Monster.
I don't fucking care if they get it right. If they got it
right. I'm not familiar with them at all, but I mean, come on, Monster, man. It's a space trucking simulator.
Yeah, Monster and Monster. I'm not sure.
All right, it's on my wish list right now. So.
And then moving on through September, of course, we got Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2, which we've all been waiting for.
That's going to be the one of the few day one buys I have this year.
Right?
There's nothing that seems fucking wrong with it.
That's coming out only on PC, PS5, and Xbox Series on the 9th. Also in September, for people who never played the original Lollipop Chainsaw Repop, comes out on the 12th. And then we've got, for those who didn't have a PS5, God of War Ragnarok comes to PC on September 19th.
Woohoo! I mean,
That's worth it right there. Frostpunk 2 gets its official PC release on September 20th.
Game Pass release too, by the way.
Yeah. The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom for the Switch comes out on September 26th. I have no idea what that game is. It looks like a chibi game where you're playing as Zelda instead of Link.
Meh. I know there's that Dead Rising Deluxe Remaster, but I don't like the timer in that game, and I don't like beating a 15-hour experience multiple times to get different endings and different abilities and weapons.
That's one my wife would want, but we don't have a PS5 or a Series.
That's on PC. So is it on PC?
Yeah, it's on PC. It is, but she's not going to play it on PC.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, and then Lollipop Chainsaw, like, that should be a grain of salt game. I really liked that back when it originally came out in, like, 2010. Like, me and Holly beat the shit out of that game. In 2010, it didn't look like it had anything other than just updating the resolution and playing at a smoother frame rate. Like, it's an okay-ish game. It's a very arcadey grasshopper. I say grasshopper. Grasshopper being the developer, right? Game. So take it with a huge grain of salt. Like, you shouldn't be paying more than $40 for that.
Yeah.
I would buy it on a sale for like $20 maybe.
Right. And then, looking forward into October, some confirmed things. Diablo 4 Vessel of Hatred DLC comes out October 8th.
That has a whole new class in it, I think.
Yeah. Diablo has been pretty good to me every time. It's gotten a lot of shit, right? And a lot of flack from us. But I've also played a fuckload of it. That's because most of the time it's pretty fun.
I'm just waiting for PoE 2.
But if it's PoE 2's not out.
Right. It's a holdover. And then I've got the main,
second
main game.
It's second place brother.
DLC.
Right. We'll go to its second place brother, who's been pretty consistent. More or less, except for that one DLC, right, or that one season.
Right.
Something worth mentioning, and me and John were talking about this a little bit last night, like, Veilguard comes out on October 31st, Dragon Age.
Yep.
I have a lot of problem with the art direction on this game, because it's just like neon-looking cyberpunk fantasy weirdness.
What? My God.
No, I mean, Veilguard just has like a lot of like hot pink and hot colors, right? And which just feels weird in a fantasy setting, and just nothing about the gameplay looked all that interesting. But he made a really good point. He's like, BioWare has to knock it out of the park or they're sunk.
Yeah.
They haven't had a big, good release in
about 10 years. When did Mass Effect 3 come out? Because that was the last really decent game they had. Think about that for a second.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, like if we think about it, right? Like, when was Mass Effect? Mass Effect 3 release date.
Mass Effect 3 was actually like
March 6, 2012. That was their last big hit. We're in 2024. Yeah, that was 12 years ago.
Even so, I mean, that game didn't end very well, so.
Well, it's because the expectations were blown out of the water. I've played it and beat it, right? It's a very good game. But, I guess Dragon Age Inquisition probably came out later than that. And that was a decent game, but not a great game. Like, it was a very B. I say B as in, like, if I was going to rate it like you give kids grades, right? Like, it was a B-tier game from them. Mass Effect Andromeda, Jason's the only one that really likes that game for some reason. It's all right. It's like a C-tier game from them. Anthem, like, fucking sucked.
It really shouldn't have, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, they fucked it all up. They didn't stick the landing on it at all.
Yeah, if they had not fucked the pooch on that one, it really would have, it really would have actually been something to rival Destiny, and that's what we really needed, is something that rivaled Destiny, and
sure didn't.
It sure didn't.
So, you think about that, not having, Inquisition went in Inquisition. I'm sure that had decent reviews. Dragon Age Inquisition release date.
All right. My biggest problem with Inquisition is that the beginning of that game just felt way too long.
It takes a long time to get into the Inquisition's other issue is like it doesn't
action based.
Yeah, and then they did an update for like tactical mode, but there was no real reason to do tactical mode, and it just didn't play out right. It's like it had an identity crisis of should we be an action game or should we be a tactical game like the first game, right? And it didn't do either very well. Super button mashy with the action game, like in a way that didn't feel like you really were making any choices other than getting out of the damage area. And on the tactical part of it, you really only had to play it on like super hard to make any kind of difference, which I have done before. But like, again, that game came out in 2014. We're in 2024, 10 years later. BioWare has a lot of faith lost in their ability to make solid games. And if they create this janky ass Dragon Age that leaves us all feeling like we've been edged, like I'm going to abandon them, right? Like I feel like fool me once, like at this point, it's like fool me five times, right? Same thing with Gearbox, right? Like they haven't had the best track record since Borderlands 2. Like at this point, it's like there's other developers out there that are doing good things.
Right.
And I don't understand the direction for Veilguard when Baldur's Gate 3 like fucking knocked it out of the park. So.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I don't see why you had to radically change the style up that much, etc. Right?
I guess that we're in the minority that liked Origins.
No, we're not. Like,
I don't know.
There's a lot of people like Origins. Again, the story's solid. Your choices matter.
Solid, yes.
And the tactics are great.
Okay. I get that, except for like one whole area of that game that we all block out of our minds.
Which is what?
Origins, where you have to fucking run around in the fucking Shadow Realm as a goddamn mouse.
It's like an hour, right?
That part of the game sucked so hard that everybody just like deletes it from their brain.
I forgot about it.
Exactly.
Points to you.
It sucked so hard that because you're like, you end up, going into like some fucking demonverse bullshit. And you have to shape shift into a fucking mouse to move around. And yeah, the fight sucked nuts. And yeah, that particular spot in the game sucked so hard that everybody just willingly like bleeds their brain about it. But I understand where you're coming from. I think that I just watched the Veilguard trailer. It looks all right. But I think it's going to be more of an action RPG than either of us are really going to want. So, you know, we know where that's going to go. And it's, you know, we'll see. I see the pink purple. That's what I was looking for. Like the pink purple call out on that. And I was like, I guess I can see it, but it's more, the pink purple is more magic than anything else that evokes the thought of magic. And I guess that would be the thing. I don't know. I was more excited about seeing the fucking dwarf.
Yeah, like the...
I I'm fine with the dwarf, but everything just looks more cartoony.
It does. But yeah, I understand. I mean, if they botch this, we're just done. Big time. and that's sad.
We can't just live on nostalgia forever, right? Yeah. That's kind of what I'm getting at, right? Like Origins is a fantastic game that came out in 2009.
Right.
That was 15 years ago. I was in my 20s when that released. I'm 42.
Right.
So yeah. At a certain point, I just got to get off my high horse and a whole lot of companies have done a lot of better RPGs. BioWare hadn't had the doctors for several years. Right.
I mean, if you was to compare Origins to Baldur's Gate 3, it's a no-brainer.
Right. Baldur's Gate 3 is better, but Sven over at Larian has had a lot of time to reflect on what's made other games good. And his other games are also pretty fucking good. So they've got some bad games as well. They're just way in the past and nobody remembers them.
Everybody's going to start somewhere.
Does anybody really remember anything past Pillars of Eternity?
That's not even Larian. Pillars of Eternity is really good too. Larian had the Divinity Original Sin and Divinity 2. Yeah,
Divinity.
And both of those games are excellent as well, but they also have the other weird Divinity games that came out before that that are more third person, and they're not that good. So, but those are in the early aughts, and they've learned a lot since then. And they're a developer that's just gotten progressively better. And they're also independent still. They're just bigger because they had a really big release. Not that long ago, they were a very AA developer. It's kind of just like The Witcher, right? Like studios that are not bought out by bigger conglomerate companies that are still doing original work are doing a lot of the best work out there. Where anything bought up by EA, I don't know exactly how EA fucks everything up, but I can't think of good EA releases in the last 10 years. And that's not, I don't even think I'm being hyperbolic with that. I really can't think of any EA releases that are just, you know, EA produced releases that have done that good that aren't just a bullshit mainstream title that's done the same thing with 32 numbered sequels, you know?
Right.
Yeah. What's
that name an EA game that's great?
I'm trying to. That's the thing. EA has a bunch of mediocre titles, and that's about it. And
a lot of kind of like pop music, right? It's like Taylor Swift can play everything, just not anything particularly good. So same thing with EA games, right? They do a lot of everything, just none of it is very finely honed in their craft, except for shooters and sports games like FIFA.
Yeah,
Star Wars Jedi Survivor
and simulators games are
okay. Jedi Survivor was good,
but that was more a result of the developer, right?
Is it Remedy that developed? Is it Remedy that developed that?
Remedy.
See,
A lot of this is
all that said. Some other games to keep your eye on. Maybe wait and see a little bit on these. Starship Troopers Extermination releases October 11th.
It's in early access right now if you want to try it out.
Yep.
It got swept under the rug because of Helldivers 2, because it came out right before Helldivers 2, but in early access. And of course, Helldivers 2 is another bug shooting game that's just better than everything like that.
Yeah. But could still be fun, right? You go, I'd wait, watch the play loop, you know, and see whether it looks like you would prefer that play loop over Helldivers. Then you got Wilder Myth coming out to everything on October 22nd. Of course, for everybody who's perennially a Call of Duty player, Black Ops 6 comes out October 25th. And Life is Strange Double Exposure comes out October 29th.
Okay.
So, those are the big ones that, you know, are in no danger of being moved. Anytime soon.
Yep.
All right. Well,
November, December dates can still change. So I'm not going to hit any of those.
Yeah, I'm not even touching that stuff because I don't even know what's going to happen.
Correct.
All right. Well, Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at thetiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and x.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/therealtiltcast, and also tiltcast.com shorts with a Z. And of course, follow us on Spotify and iTunes, rate us, review us.
Find some friends of the show. You've got Picking Up Pixels or Pupcast. You've got For the Love of Gaming. You've got TVGP.TV. They cover RPGs. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right. Peace.
All right. Peace.